Please be seated. I invite Amy to come and share the scripture with us.
Today's scripture is Luke 10:25 through 29. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?"
Who is my neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Jesus answered with one of the most familiar stories of the New Testament. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you've probably heard of it. The parable of the Good Samaritan. The story about a man, presumably, since Jesus and his audience, disciples were all Jewish, presumably a Jewish man who went from Jerusalem down to Jericho and had robbers seize him, beat him up, take all he had, and leave him for dead by the side of the road. Three people passed by. First, a priest who hurried by on the other side. We clergy tend to think we're really busy. Then a Levite, a leader in the religion and the practices there at the temple in Jerusalem, who also hurried by and left the man on the side of the road. And lastly, a Samaritan. And though 2,000 years later, we now hear the word Samaritan and think, oh, that's a good guy, to Jesus' audience, that was not a good guy. A Samaritan was an infidel, someone who believed wrongly, someone who had it, who was unclean, someone who would have been an outcast, condemned, looked down on by Jesus and all those with him. But it was the Samaritan who saw the man and had compassion and went and helped him and bound up his wounds, put him on his own donkey, presumably, took him to an inn, took care of him, and gave the innkeeper money and said, "Do whatever else you need for him. When I come back, if I owe you any more, I'll pay you." And then Jesus asked his questioner, who was a neighbor to the man who was hurt and robbed? Jesus turned it around. Not who is my neighbor, what category of person, what definition or distinction. No, who acted like a neighbor to the one who was hurt? He said, go and act like neighbors to anybody. To everybody, be a neighbor to whoever needs a neighbor. We all know the teaching. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And all of our religious faiths, at their best, teach the same thing, really, in so many words. Kindness, tolerance, respect, love. The Samaritan didn't let the other man's ethnic or racial or cultural identity stop him from seeing him as a human being who needed help. He didn't even ask, would this man take care of me if it was the other way around? He saw the need. He had empathy, compassion, and he helped him. We all know it's what we're supposed to do, but doing it, living it, that's a whole different matter. Today we've remembered and prayed for those who've been killed because of religious violence. Why does it happen? Religion so quickly becomes one more way we separate and divide, one more way we see some as us and others as them. And religion can, when it's misused, lead to terrible, horrific fanaticism. especially when it gets mixed up with politics and power, which it so easily does. People killing other people and believing somehow it's justified. Every single religion has had episodes of this kind of violence. Sometimes single incidents, sometimes whole periods of time. If we ever start to feel a little self-righteous in the last decade about Shia and Sunni Muslims fighting each other, remember the Hundred Years' War? Remember how many Catholics and Protestants slaughtered each other across Europe for generations? Every religion has it, even though, at its best, every religion teaches respect and care for one another. And we actually live in a time, at least in our part of the world, where fewer people have strong religious identity. There's so many more people who would say none when you ask them what their religion is. But it seems to me that that just creates another set of problems. Those who are religious feel threatened that others are not. They feel embattled that their system of beliefs and their values are under attack. And for a growing number of people, at least in our country, their political beliefs are more and more their source of identity and belonging. And let's be honest, political beliefs, political parties these days don't seem to be saying much about how we need to all care for each other. So living in this time in America, what does it mean to ask ourselves, who is our neighbor? Who is the person or the people that we are being called on to see as human beings, to recognize and respond to for who they are and what they need? We know we live in a time when we may not know our actual neighbors well at all. Our literal next door down the road neighbors. Some of you do. But it's so easy to get in our car and drive off with just a wave. It's so easy to be in the same room or the same workspace with somebody and be interacting with somebody on the other side of the world through the internet or through your cell phone and not actually have a conversation with the person right there. So what does it mean to act as a neighbor? Where you and I live and go to work and go to school? In a world where we know so much about what's happening to people all over the world, we often let ourselves get overwhelmed, paralyzed, and feel so limited and helpless that we so easily throw up our hands and do nothing at all. Leviticus 19:16 says, "You shall not stand idle while your neighbor bleeds." But it can feel like we have no choice because we see so much bleeding, don't we? In images and news stories, we hear so much and we so quickly can feel like, what can I possibly do? Our faith, I believe, can help us live with both the limits and the challenges. We cannot solve all the world's problems. We cannot act to respond to all the bleeding we hear and see. We have to believe and trust that somehow other people, God is working through other people. God is at work in ways we cannot know. And yet our faith also challenges us to do what we can, our piece of being a neighbor. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And the Spirit of God can help us discern what is our part, what is my part. We can be a neighbor. We can act like a neighbor. The commandment doesn't say we have to take care of everybody. Jesus certainly didn't say we're supposed to spend our entire lives rescuing people. In fact, some of us know the hard way that if you spend your life rescuing people, you can get yourself in serious trouble. And it's not usually good for the other person either. The Samaritan, it strikes me when I read it this week, was on his own journey. He was going somewhere. He let himself be interrupted to care for his neighbor. But he didn't let it consume his entire life. He did go on. He got others to help, the innkeeper. He said, I'll come back and check. And he went on with his journey. There's some wisdom in that that I need, that we may need, those of us who tend to be rescuers. Faith can help us find that balance. How do we know when we are called to give, to whom we're called to respond, and when we're called to go on to living our own journey? So what does it mean? Who is our neighbor? And what can we do? Going to sleep last night, I sort of thought, I need a good story, and I don't have one that I haven't already told. And this morning when I got up and I looked on my news feed, I read a story about an elderly woman in British Columbia whose name is Mrs. Tinny Davidson. For the last 12 years, she's lived in a house very close to a high school. And every morning, she's waved at the high school students as they walked by on their way to school. She and her husband would just wave, hey, how are you? Good morning. When the weather was good, I guess they sat on the porch. When it wasn't so good, she looked out the window. But she made a point to wave, and the students noticed. It was kind of nice. Every day she was there waving. When her husband died, she kept on waving. Some of the students stopped by to talk to her, to visit her after school. This week, Mrs. Davidson is moving into an assisted living. She's moving out of the house that's been her home. And hundreds of students showed up in her front yard with signs and cards wishing her well. We can be a neighbor. It doesn't have to be huge, but it can make a difference in people's lives. We are called to be neighbors, to see one another as human beings, to do what we can with who we are and what we have where we are. To be a neighbor, to show prayer and concern, not just for those who are injured, not just for those who are killed, but also for those who do the killing. Not just for those who are attacked, but for the attackers and their families and their communities. Do you remember the story about the Amish school shooting where a number of people were killed? And afterward, the community went to the attacker's family and helped take care of his widow and children for the next several years. What would have happened after 9/11? I've wondered again and again. What would have happened after 9/11 instead of going to war? We'd found out the hometowns and villages of every attacker, and we'd gone there and built medical clinics and schools and roads. What if we'd been neighbors to those people? Where might we be today? So in closing, I invite you to pray with me again. God of love, open up our hearts like an ocean. Let your great ocean of love flow through us, that we might be in some small way a part of being the answer and not the problem, a part of caring for our neighbors and not ignoring them, a part of seeing one another as human beings and not just passing by. And so, God, on this day when we have prayed for those who have suffered and been killed, we also pray for those who did the killing. We pray for those who are motivated by anger and fear and hate. We pray for those whose religion has gotten twisted to the point that they actually believe that this might be what you want. God, how do we find a way to be their neighbors? God, we pray for the families of every terrorist who has done an act of violence, for the communities of the places where gangs and terrorists are bred by hunger and poverty and lack of opportunity. God, we pray that you will show us ways to be neighbors most to those who are most different and most difficult for us to love, for those whose politics are on the opposite end of the spectrum from who we are, for those who are neo-Nazis and white supremacists, those who are jihadists, those who are members of the KKK, whatever form hatred takes. God, help us to find ways to love. Help us to find ways to be a neighbor. Amen. And amen.